Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded change-makers, difference-makers, and happiness-makers. Over the past couple of episodes, we followed the way of the BU journey, specifically as it applies to staying well in an increasingly unwell world, not only for our own personal sake, but to help change the global trajectory from an increasingly unwell to an increasingly well world. In this episode, I'm speaking about what I call the ACE way of changing your own trajectory towards actualizing your fully alive, authentic, unforgettable self. I feel it's appropriate to name the personal development process I'll be describing momentarily, the ACE way, for a couple of reasons. Firstly, ACE connotes high quality or excellence. If you're a card player, you'll know that an ACE is usually the highest valued or highest ranking card in the deck. ACE might describe a person who excels at something. She's an ACE at problem solving. In golf, an ACE is a hole in one, as good as it gets. And at school, you might hear someone remark happily that they aced the exam. The ACE way is the path leading towards the highest quality life. A pocket version, you might say, of the BU journey. The second reason I choose to call it the ACE way is in light of the power of rhyming to help with remembering. The ACE way has four sections to be traveled in the following order. Face it, embrace it, erase it, replace it. Face it, embrace it, erase it, replace it. I'm sharing a personal experience of traveling the ACE way that brought about a sea change in my life. I was nowhere close to conceiving the term ACE way, or the BU journey for that matter, when I first stumbled upon the personal development path decades ago. I didn't call it anything because I didn't really even know I was on such a path. I noticed, however, as I traveled along over the years beginning in the latter half of my 30s, that my life was getting increasingly more enjoyable and rewarding. I was learning on the go, deliberately, by excitedly and hungrily consuming as much personal development material as I reasonably could, and serendipitously from lessons embedded in life's happenings. Each step is more enticing than the previous step. Each new aha sparks from a previous aha. Rewards accumulate along the way. Only in hindsight did I come to realize that I'd been traveling what I now call the BU journey, the pocket edition of which is the ACE way. I'm still traveling it, not in a perpetual loop, but in a perpetual spiral, as I've spoken of before. A spiraling trip upwards that never ends. The experience I'm sharing in this episode is an example of traveling the ACE way. And it isn't new to any of you who have been tuning in to Better Me, Better World, but this time I'm sharing it in hopes that it will encourage you to consider keeping this Pocket BU program in your mind's pocket for quick and easy access when you want to change something, anything, big or small, in your life. Although I could go back to my early childhood to explain the starting point of the personal experience I'm relating today, because that's where all our journeys start, I will instead begin in the early years of my marriage when I was in my young 20s, and I was not happy. As I've previously elaborated on in my storytelling of my earlier years, I'd gotten married despite a lot of misgivings. I told myself over and over again, love will grow. I will love away my husband's unhappiness, his challenging traits. I will make him better. It'll all be okay. And then when the okay wasn't happening, I took another route to try to make my life okay. I had an affair. Well, in the affair, I got pregnant. About 3 months prior to learning I was expecting, my husband and I had decided to begin our family, and I took myself off the pill. My fertility cycle was very regular. I knew the best time of the month to have baby-making sex with my husband and times to avoid being intimate with my lover. Although a small part of me, my biology, wanted my lover to be the father, the much bigger part of me, my mind, denied that it was even a possibility. The ramifications of that were too frightening to contemplate. Besides, there was no DNA paternity testing available to the general public at that time, so why even go there? My husband was obviously the biological father. Of course he was. It stood to reason. We prepared for the birth of our child. Becoming a mother filled me with joy. My heart was spilling over with love for my daughter. The never-discovered affair slipped into the past, but the guilt of my unfaithfulness did not. It was now who I was, this once unfaithful wife. The French novelist André Malraux explains this well. Adapted to current lingo, he said, "A person is not what they think they are. They are what they hide." On the rare occasions when my deeply hidden guilt over an even greater potential sin ever made its way up to the surface of my consciousness, I quickly quashed it, pushing it back way far down, berated myself for letting the guilt-inducing thought about paternity arise, and carried on. For many years, I carried on, sort of. While trying to make a good home for our four children, I used the guilt of my secret unfaithfulness to forgive my husband, his excessive alcohol consumption, his anger, his chronic complaining and blaming, because whatever unhappiness I felt in my marriage, I truly believed I deserved it. Definitely not the makings of a good, healthy home. My relationship unhappiness during those years, together with our constant financial challenges and the stressors of working full-time while raising four children, finally forced me to reach out for help. I initially went into therapy with the intent of getting direction from the therapist on how to change my husband. I was quickly relieved of that notion when I was told the only person I can change is myself. Once I got past my anger about feeling unfairly responsible for doing the changing, I began my healing journey towards happiness, aka self-love. I've spoken at length in previous episodes about the aha that set me on this path, the path of gaining ever greater awareness experientially and intentionally around the genesis and impacts of my beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors. Despite my steady, liberating, happiness-creating progress, there was something holding me back, blocking me, making it difficult for me to sustain forward movement, to gain ground, to get to where I was meant to go. I was wearing a ball and chain. And with that background, it is here that I begin to explain how I unknowingly, perhaps intuitively, followed the ACE way to find the key to unlock that ball and chain, to shake off my shame and blame, to be free. Recall the rhyme of the ACE way? Face it, embrace it, erase it, replace it. Now, let's face it. How many years was it? 27. 27 years of denial, of refusing to face the possibility that my lover was my daughter's biological father. 27 years of hiding a secret, not realizing the secret, the layered secret of an affair and a questionable paternity, was actually hiding the real me. I was a fraud. The nice me I showed to family, friends, and co-workers was fabricated. Did you catch the episode where I spoke about our shadow side? Well, this hidden part of me that I so long refused to face was a huge part of my shadow side, that dark place within my subconscious mind that contains every shameful, unspeakable thought, feeling, memory, or personality trait that I'd rejected, buried, or suppressed. Only a residual part of me was living in the open. When I said earlier I was excited and hungry to delve into personal development, that was only the residual part of me that was excited. The dark part of me was extremely fearful of what I knew on some level would necessarily have to be brought to light if I truly wanted to continue my healing journey. I'd made it only so far towards self-love, and then realized I could never continue the journey so long as I was tethered by the ball and chain of self and other blaming and self-shame. I had to face the secret. Facing it looked like me lying in bed one night a couple of years after I'd separated from my husband, knowing in my heart that if I wanted to live life fully and authentically, I had to take the difficult, terrifying step to face my monster. I said to myself in the dark of night, I'm going to bring into the light the very real possibility that my daughter's biological father is my ex-lover. As with recovery from anything, be it an addiction to substances or gambling or sex or a long-held toxic secret, the recovery journey cannot begin until you move out of denial, until you let the monster out of the closet you've kept it locked within and stand face to face with it. As an aside, I'll never forget the amazing sensation of witnessing a loved one come face to face with her monster. I've spoken previously about my daughter's battle with mental illness and addiction. She was stuck in denial for what seemed an eternity to me, falling further and further down. Finally, she hit her proverbial rock bottom with the ultimate blow of losing a job she'd enjoyed. The moment she opened her closet door, saying to me, but more importantly to herself, that she wanted to pursue treatment, I knew her healing journey, her way forward on the ACE way, was beginning. But as if facing the monster isn't frightening enough, what about embracing it? That's the next step along the ACE way. Embrace it. As a segue into this part of the ACE way, I'm going to share a quote from Brené Brown, the first of a number of her quotes I'll be using in this section. Brené is one of my mentors, specifically on the topic of shame. On her website, brenebrown.com, she introduces herself by saying, I'm a researcher, storyteller, and currently enraged Texan who's spent the past 2 decades studying courage, vulnerability, shame, and empathy. What I've called facing the monster, Brené calls owning your story, which makes us feel vulnerable, and she speaks of embracing it. Says Brené, owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running away from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. End of quote. So now, instead of spending your life running from what I've called the monster you've released from your closet, imagine approaching it, a 12-foot-tall, filthy, foul-smelling, drooling, snarling, half-wrapped mummy with fiery red eyes, for the purpose of giving it a hug? Now that would take courage, perhaps even more courage than letting it out of the closet in the first place, likely the most courageous thing you may ever do. Surely more courage even than coming at it to slay the monster with a sword. If you happen to be successful at slaying it in the moment, it would only be reborn back in the closet again, and you'd remain stuck where you are in your unhappy life. If you courageously embrace the monster, however, it begins to diminish, transform, lose its fearfulness, and then and only then, without the ever-present threat of the monster chasing you, are you able to continue on safely along the ACE way? Enough of the analogy. What is this monster I'm describing, and what does it mean to embrace it? As I briefly touched on a little bit ago, and as I've elaborated on in previous episodes, the monster is your shadow self, the hidden, dark, shame-drenched part of you that doesn't align with the person you want to be, with the life you want to live. Embracing it means acknowledging and accepting your shadow self. Embracing the monster means owning your story, which has been out of alignment with the story you were born to create. Embracing it means recognizing the power of shame. The power of shame is that, to use Brené's words, it corrodes the very part of us that believes we are capable of change. The ACE way is all about actualizing change. If you don't embrace your shame, you empower it to continue to be the ball and chain that hobbles you. If you don't embrace your shame, it causes pain, as Brené Brown says, in the form of the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing we are flawed and therefore unworthy of acceptance and belonging. Again, as you may have heard from previous episodes of Better Me, Better World, I suffered intensely from the pain of feeling unworthy of not belonging. This pain even existed to some extent long before I became the holder of a shameful, toxic secret. That secret intensified my pre-existing pain. In addition to my earlier flaws, I could add the flaws of being deceitful, being a cheat, being unfaithful. For almost as long as I can recall, I felt like a fraud, doing my best to be a people pleaser because the real me wasn't likable and mustn't be seen. The fraudulent me could only reside on the periphery of any family, friend, or work group because the seriously flawed, very bad choice-making me didn't deserve to belong fully anywhere. As faulty as my beliefs and thinking were, a faultiness only seeable in hindsight, that was my then reality. It was my reality that I didn't like myself or trust myself or believe in myself. My self-esteem was almost non-existent. My self-love was non-existent. It was that very non-existence that sent me looking futilely, I would come to know, for validation of my lovableness in an affair. This shameful, deeply flawed human being and her unhealthy choices was the monster I was challenged to embrace. Embracing my non-self-loving, unhealthy, choice-making, fraudulent, unworthy self, wrapped up like a mummy, not with strips of linen, but with a toxic secret, didn't mean I suddenly fell in love with my monster, my shadow side, and immediately lived happily ever after in the light. No, it meant gradually, with the increasing self-awareness, even if initially only intellectually, perhaps not yet heartfully, coming to accept the version of myself as I was in the moment, the product of everything that had gone on before in my life. Embracing meant acceptance without self-judgment. It meant acknowledging that I did the best I could with what I believed and thought at the time. It meant knowing I couldn't let the new wisdom I'd obtained over the succeeding years lead me to condemn myself over past behaviors. I knew in order to move along on my journey of becoming the me I was born to be, I had to let go of, erase the shame of my being and doing, which brings us to the third section of the ACE way, erase it. To begin this section, I'm again leaning on Brené Brown to explain what it means to erase shame and self-judgment. On three different occasions, Brené said, "Shame derives its power from being unspeakable, and that speaking shame can help to destroy it." We desperately don't want to experience shame, and we're not willing to talk about it. Yet the only way to resolve shame is to talk about it. Shame cannot survive being spoken. It cannot tolerate having words wrapped around it. What it craves is secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you stay quiet, you stay in a lot of self-judgment. Thanks, Brené. So how do her words of wisdom apply to my moving along this third section of the ACE way, erase it? To get through the first section of the healing journey, I faced my monster. I eventually committed to bringing to light the very real possibility that my daughter's biological father is my ex-lover. Then, moving on, I embraced the monster. This meant accepting without judgment the former version of me who'd created the reason for a toxic secret and the unself-loving, shame-hobbled version of me who for so long didn't have what it took to face it. Moving ahead meant erasing my shame, my self-judgment, by talking about my secret, bringing it into the light where my mixed-in shame and self-judgment couldn't survive. Soon after a DNA test confirmed my suspicions, I told my daughter the man she called Dad all her life was not her biological father. Without question, that has been the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. I could not have known if our relationship would withstand that telling. Erasing my pain of shame and self-judgment meant painfully telling the truth to my then estranged husband, my former lover, my family and friends. Erasing it meant acknowledging I'd used my guilt and shame for so many years as self-flagellation, as a pathological means to keep a very unhealthy marriage on life support, and that my course of action unhealthfully impacted my loved ones. Erasing it means ongoing development of self-awareness to increasingly better understand how my past beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors have shaped the current version of myself. Understanding enables my letting go of sabotaging beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors that may have at one time enabled me to survive, but which came to be disablers of my ability to thrive. But, as you know, nature abhors a vacuum. You cannot let go of sabotaging, shame-inducing, hobbling beliefs and thoughts about yourself and your environment without replacing them with new enabling beliefs and thoughts, or else those discarded disablers will seep right back in. Now, let's consider the final section of the ACE Way. Replace it. With regard to holding on to a toxic secret for 27 years, what I was erasing was my shame and guilt over the affair itself, as well as the denial and hiding of my suspicions around the paternity of my daughter. I was erasing the blame I held for myself for making unhealthy choices, and the blame I held for my husband for my unhappiness. I was erasing my self-judgment that fed my self-loathing, my sense of unworthiness, and the feeling I don't deserve to belong, my unlikability and my fraudulence, my people-pleasing, and more. And with what and how am I replacing the erasures? Simply said, but definitely not simply done, I'm continuously working on replacing the sabotaging beliefs and thoughts being erased with the empowering, self-affirming beliefs and thoughts of a self-loving person. It's taken a lot of work, with the help of therapists, support groups, and self-development material, to foster my self-love and become more effective at the replacing. The replacement beliefs and thoughts include things like, I am flawsome, at once flawed and awesome. Perfectly imperfect, like everyone else. Like everyone else, I've always done and always will do the best I can in the moment, based on the wisdom I have at my disposal in that moment. That belief relieves me of judgment of myself and others. I've made decisions and choices that show up with the 20/20 vision of hindsight as big mistakes, unhealthy and damaging to myself and others, but I am not a mistake. I am human, learning and growing from the lessons embedded in my mistakes and making amends where appropriate. I don't need to be a people pleaser for others to like me. I am a unique, authentic, likable person worthy of belonging, and I'm okay with not being liked by everyone, just as I don't like everyone. This was a sizable, shall I say, example of my following the ACE Way to bring about a sea change in my life. As I said earlier on, this pocket version of the BU journey can be used whenever you want change in your life, be it large or small. To wrap up this session, I'll provide a short example of following the ACE Way to bring about a small but important change in my behavior. Background. My adult daughter recently approached me to share an observation and feeling she often has when she and I get into discussing emotionally charged matters. She told me she feels that her perspective or feelings on the topic at hand are not validated by me. This was not the first time I'd been reminded of this by my daughter or others. To deal with this relationship damaging habit, I don't want to perpetuate. I'm following the ACE Way. Face it. I have a tendency to be a debater, historically wanting, needing my worldview to be seen as the correct one. Embrace it. I accept without self-judgment that this undesirable tendency is a part of who I am, a part of my shadow self that exists because of everything that has gone before in my life. Erase it. I'm working on letting go of the need to be right. I understand that when I suffered from low self-esteem, lack of self-confidence, and very little self-worth, being seen as holding the right perspective or opinion in discussions, which often tended to morph into heated debates, was my attempt to boost my credibility, protect my fragile ego. I didn't have the capacity to acknowledge that another person might have an equally valid perspective or feelings on a matter. Having grown my self-love, which includes but is not limited to self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth over recent years, that habit of needing to be right, of holding the correct worldview, has become redundant. I can let it go. Replace it. My replacement beliefs and thoughts are that I have my wisdom, my perspectives, my opinions, my feelings on any matter, and they are as equally valid, not more, not less, than anyone else's. As a person, I am as equally valid, worthy as anyone else, not more, not less. At times, the other person will have a greater depth of knowledge or deeper feelings with regard to the matter at hand, and vice versa. But whatever the case, I will strengthen my relationship with the other by validating their holding of their beliefs, thoughts, and feelings without feeling I've lost ground or reduced myself. Remember I said earlier that the ACE way is an unending spiral, not a loop? This example of me using the ACE way to bring about a change is how it changed how I interact with others while in conversation on emotionally charged matters is a good example of the spiraling. As I said, I've been reminded of my tendency to not validate the other more than once by multiple people, so I've been working on it for some time. I'm getting better at it, spiraling upward with new resolve each time I slide back into my old ways. And better is the best you and I can do. And it's best that we end off here as our time is up. I invite you to tune in to the next episode of Better Me, Better World and sit in on a hypothetical life coaching session to help my imaginary client bring about a change she wants to see in her life. I'll be back same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively, have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.